Welcome to our ACE the Test call, and this is based on the Testing Mom score system, where today we're going to do a deep dive into step 4 of the score system. And then after, we'll take your questions. So be sure to print out the handout that we gave you that goes with this call, because you may want to take a few notes on it. And if you missed any of our last calls, you can go back and listen to them. All you have to do is log into testingmom.com and click the Parent Resources bar on the homepage, and the recordings for all the ACE the Test calls are right on top in our Parent Resource Center. So let's do a very quick review of the score system. As I mentioned in earlier calls, this system emerged from our Testing Mom parent community. After parents use our program with their kids, they often report back on how their kids did on the test. And anytime a parent tells us that their child scored in the 97th to 99th percentile, we would always ask, how did you do it? You know, tell us your secrets in helping your child achieve such a great score. And parents are very generous in sharing their best techniques with us. So through the years, we've tracked what they've told us works and what they've told us doesn't work when it comes to helping their kids ace these important tests. When we look at what works, it always kind of comes down to the actions taken within these same 5 steps, and those are the steps that we call the score system. So let me just do a very quick review of the system. The first step, start with the application and test requirements, and this is all about learning the process to apply to the program you want and then gaining an understanding of the tests that your child will take, or if they don't tell you what the tests are going to be, the skills that they're going to be assessing in your child. The second step, challenge your child through practice, and here we're talking about doing practice questions that are modeled after the actual questions on a test that your child will take. And in this step, we talk about the importance of mixing up your tools, making your test prep fun, creating a routine, and motivating your child. The third step is overcome common test-taking mistakes. With this step, we're talking about all the basic mistakes that kids make because they have so little experience taking a test. And here, we identify what these mistakes are, and we show you how to teach your child to avoid making them because, you know, these types of mistakes cause kids to lose so many points off a child's score, and it's just not necessary. The next step, the one we're going to talk about today, is reinforce underlying abilities. And we'll talk about that in just a little while, so I won't even get into that right now. And the last step is emphasize listening, focus, and perseverance. And these are the 3 most important traits that very young children need to have when taking tests. And they need these skills for doing well in school as well. So anytime you work on these skills, you're helping your child not just for tests but for school. And we'll cover this in our next call, and I'll be giving you lots of ideas about how to build these qualities in your child. So now let's talk about reinforcing underlying abilities. You know, not having the underlying ability that a test is measuring is a huge factor in why a child would not do well on a test. If a test question is assessing whether a child knows a vocabulary word, and a child has never heard that word, he's obviously not going to get the question right. If a test question is assessing whether or not a child can identify the number 6, and the child hasn't learned his numbers yet, he won't do well on that part of the test. So a question that we all have as parents working with our kids is, how do you know if your child's problem, if they're making mistakes, is due to lack of underlying ability or is it something else? Well, figuring this out is key. And I'll give you one method that is usually pretty good in helping you sort of figure this out. What you want to do is go through about 10 questions with your child without really helping her. Ask the question and mark the answer she gives. And then go back through the questions with your child and mark each one that has an incorrect answer. And with your child by your side, taking it more slowly, go back to those questions where your child made mistakes And see if your child can figure out the right answer with you sitting there, maybe offering a few hints. But see if with you by her side, can she figure out what the answer is. If with you by her side, she is still having trouble with the underlying material, then that tells you that, you know, she probably made the mistakes because she doesn't have the underlying ability she needs. If with you by her side, kind of help giving her little hints here and there, she's answering the questions right, then what that tells you is that maybe the first time she went through the questions, she wasn't paying close attention, maybe she was rushing, or she was making some other test-taking mistake, but the problem is not necessarily the lack of underlying abilities. So this is a good way to kind of suss out, you know, what the problem is. Is it the underlying abilities or is it the test-taking skills? And this is so important to recognize because when you've identified that a child lacks the underlying skills being assessed, doing more practice questions that assess a skill won't really help the child do better. Instead, what you need to do is take a step back and work on the underlying skill. In the case of what we were talking about before, with a vocabulary word or the number six, with a vocabulary word, you might read to your child more, or you might play word games with him. Or if it's the number six question that they missed, what you might do is work with your child to identify the symbols that represent numbers. And then after you've worked on those underlying skills, you can go back and try the practice questions. Now, first, what you're going to want to do when you know the test your child is going to take, you want to look at each subtest in that particular test to sort of analyze for yourself what are the underlying abilities that my child is going to need. And you can go into our main test sections, go into those subtests, because we've divided every practice test up by subtest, and you would start here. You know, start with some questions that are maybe a little easy for your child and do them with your child and work your way to harder questions. And as you're doing these questions, you ask yourself, what ability does my child need to answer these questions? And does she have that ability yet? And with very young kids, it's actually quite easy to figure out what ability they're assessing. It's usually pretty obvious. And I'll give you a couple of examples. If your child is taking the OLSAT verbal arithmetic reasoning test, that's just part of the OLSAT test. And you would be going through these questions with your child, and what you would see is that in order to answer them, your child is going to have to be able to count. They're going to have to be able to do simple addition, simple subtraction. You're going to see questions that are asking about concepts of twice as much, or double, or half as many, or equal to, or same as, dozen. You're going to see questions that point to rows and columns. So as you go through these questions with your child, you're going to ask yourself, does my child understand all of these concepts? You know, if a question asks your child which picture shows half a pizza, she needs to have been exposed to the concept of half before she can answer that question. So as you work with the questions, if you find your child is missing some of them, just take notes on the concepts that you see that you need to work on outside of your test prep. And with young kids, it's very common that you will have to take a step back and work on mastering underlying concepts that he's missed when you're going through these practice tests. Most young kids have not mastered everything that's going to be on these tests. And my advice to you is to keep a running list of items, of concepts and items that you want to work on outside of your test prep. These would be concepts that your child has not yet mastered and needs to work on some more. And how you work on these concepts outside of test prep is going to depend on the concept itself. So, for example, teaching your child to count will be very different from teaching your child how to solve an analogy. But it all starts with first identifying the underlying ability that your child still needs to work on. Now, if you're looking for fun ways to help your child master different underlying abilities, I want to recommend my book, Testing for Kindergarten, because that gives you games and activities that you can do to build all these underlying skills that are needed for testing, and to do it in fun ways, you know, outside of test prep, more hands-on kinds of ways. Now, when you've isolated what your child needs to know and do, and we want you then to come up with fun and creative ways to work on these abilities outside of test practice. So let's go through a few examples of ways that you might do this, okay? We talked about the OLSAT verbal arithmetic reasoning questions. And as I mentioned, your child will need to understand concepts of counting. They need to understand twice as many, double, half, equal, same, dozen, row, columns. This is just language that you want to bring into your child's everyday life. You want to teach your child what language in a question, in a math question, indicates that simple addition needs to take place, or simple subtraction needs to take place. So, for example, if you ask your child, you know, a question like, Mary had three cookies, she ate one more, how many altogether? Well, the word altogether indicates that you add, you know, how the cookies together. Or if it was Mary had three cookies wait a minute, I think I did that one wrong, so let me back up. I even get mixed up on these things. Okay, so let me back up. So Mary had three cookies. She ate one. How many are left over? So that's a subtraction question, okay? And when you hear the word left over, that indicates subtraction. If the question was Mary had three cookies and Billy gave her two more, how many altogether? Then that would be an addition question. So words like altogether or in total or in all indicate that it's going to be addition. And you can teach your child to recognize these words because kids often get mixed up when they hear a word problem about whether or not they need to add the numbers they're hearing or subtract the numbers they're hearing. You know, just like I did when I was just reading you or just going through this question with you. Okay, so you want to work on these skills outside of test prep. And with math, what you would do is you would count everything you could. You know, you would count the steps to the corner. You would throw out a little handful of goldfish, edible goldfish or Cheerios. Let your child count them. You would have your child put M&Ms together into piles that are the same, piles that are equal, or make two piles and have your child show you which one is bigger, which one is smaller. When you're at the grocery store, you want to point out what a dozen eggs look like. And why is it a dozen eggs? Because there's 12 and you can count them with your child. Kids learn math by absorbing it. They learn it by being surrounded by math language. In much the same way that they learn language in general. So we want you to talk about math concepts all the time, if that's going to be part of the testing that they are going to have to take. Let's talk a little bit about verbal questions, OLSAT verbal following directions questions. Now, I'm just picking the OLSAT because it's a test that many families do take. But the types of questions on this test are on many, many early childhood tests. So what I'm talking to you about here with these questions really applies to many different tests that your child might take. And with these questions, they're following directions questions. They require a child to listen, remember, and then answer. But to answer these types of questions, there's an underlying ability needed, and it is the mastery of relativity concepts. Because following directions questions tend to be things like, point to the circle between two stars, or point to the square under the triangle. So your child needs to understand concepts of between, on top of, under, beneath, above, down, away from, outside, inside, behind, that sort of thing. So you want to work on these concepts outside of test prep by bringing these words into your everyday life so that your child understands their meaning. Another thing you can do is play with blocks and have your child put, say, you know, can you put this block on top of that block? Can you put this block between two orange blocks? Can you put this yellow block next to the red block? Another thing to do to help with following directions, learning how to master that skill, is give your child 1, 2, and 3-step directions to follow so she gets used to listening to directions and then following them. So, for example, when you're making dinner, you could say, oh, could you grab 4 napkins, put one on each placemat, and then come back to the kitchen. So that's 3 steps that a child has to follow, and this will help them when they're tested. Another type of question, OLSAT, verbal but oral reasoning questions. And what these questions require is an understanding of vocabulary, what words mean, and they have to have the ability to reason with these words. So to master this underlying ability, you would want to read to your child and converse with your child as much as possible, talk with your child about everything and anything. And this subtest often involves a description of something that's being read to the child, and then the child must identify the picture that's being described. So to help build this skill, whenever you're reading picture books with your child, take turns describing what is happening in the picture. Now, another type of test kids get all the time, they might be taking the NNAT, but the question is a reasoning by analogy question. And analogy questions are on all kinds of tests. But we'll talk about figural analogies. And what I mean by that is big triangle is to little triangle as big circle is to little circle. So how do you work on these underlying abilities? Well, look at what these analogies are like when you go into our site and you, you know, you look at the different questions for young kids and you see what's the same about the items on top. Either the two are the same, or there's big and little, or there might be black and white, or right side up and upside down, or 1 and 2, or half and whole. Look at those relationships. And just remember in real life, whenever you have a chance to talk about these types of concepts, talk about them because they will help your child understand how to solve an analogy question as long as they understand this concept in real life. Now, for NNAT, reasoning by analogy questions, and really for any analogy questions, there's a great app I recommend. It's called Little Solver Figural Analogy and Little Solver Preschool Logic App. And you can get those on your phone. I really like those. So they can do little analogies sometimes when you're, you know, you've got some downtime and you allow your child to play on the phone. Now I want to talk a little bit about highly conceptual questions on a test. These you may have to bring down to real life for your child first before they're going to be able to answer them. And I want to explain what I mean by this. Sometimes on a test, questions are very conceptual and they require a child to manipulate visual images in their heads or do mental math problems. And a young child may not be able to do that yet. And you can show them how to do that type of question in real life first and then conceptually in a practice question. And I'll give you an example, a couple of examples. On the COGAT test, which is similar to the OLSAT, in the nonverbal portion, they have something called folding questions or hole punch questions, where kids are shown a diagram of a piece of paper being folded once, maybe twice, and then 1 or 2 holes is punched into the folded up paper, and the child needs to decide what the piece of paper will look like when it's unfolded. and he's given four possible answer choices. Well, if your child can't do this in his head, what you want to do is take a square piece of paper, fold it just like you see in the question, punch holes in it just like the question, and then let your child see what happens when you unfold it. Many kids need to see a physical demonstration first before they can work with a diagram. And the same is true with NNAT pattern completion questions. These are visual puzzles with a piece missing, and the child has to choose between four or five answer choices that if you put it into the missing piece would complete the pattern. Well, if your child can't do this in their head, you can print our questions out and you can cut out the answer choices so your child can physically put the puzzle piece where it belongs and really see what is happening in real life so that that will help them ultimately answer the more conceptual question. For this one, the NNAT pattern completion questions, we actually have a game your child can do on an iPad called Pattern Blast or Pattern Puzzler. There's two games that help them also kind of get this real-life experience of working on these types of questions before they answer the more conceptual questions. And with math, all math questions on tests are conceptual. There may be a verbal question with picture-answer choices, and kids have to solve them in their heads. Kids learn counting, adding, subtracting best by first working with manipulatives. So if your child is having trouble with word problems in math, you may have to kind of back up and work with manipulatives to make sure that your child really understands adding, simple subtracting, or just simple counting. You also want to talk about math concepts all the time with your child because children absorb math through language. And when you are working on math problems, word problems with your child, teach your child to use her fingers to help solve the problem. If it's Mary had three cookies, then teach your child to put up three fingers. And then Mary ate one cookie, teach your child to take one finger away. How many are left? And at that point, your child can count how many fingers are left. So it's important for very young kids who are just mastering adding and subtracting to teach them to use their fingers when they hear those questions. And if you see that your child doesn't do as well on verbal questions, really increase the level of talking to your child and reading to your child that you're doing. The more you surround your child with language and engage them in conversations, the better they will do on verbal questions. Also, you can go into our store and scroll down to verbal language skills where we have links to a lot of different toys and workbooks that will help you build those skills offline. If you speak more than one language in your home and your child is going to be tested in the next 6 months, you want to ask yourself, what language will she be tested in? And whatever that language is, I would recommend that you just double up on speaking that language at home until the test, because your child needs to have a very firm grasp of the language she'll be tested in. And if she doesn't have it, she isn't going to do as well on the test. As soon as the test is over, go back to speaking as many languages as you speak at home as you were doing before. But when testing is coming up, I just really recommend that you just really go hard on the language your child will be tested in because you want your child to have that solid base when they're tested. If you see that your child does not do as well on nonverbal questions, I recommend that you play the interactive games that we have on our site. All of them are designed to build nonverbal skills. And you can also play with the nonverbal questions on IQ Fun Tree or an IQ Fun Pack. The other thing you can do is go to our store on the site, scroll down to Visual Spatial Reasoning, and we have links to lots of toys and workbooks that build those skills. If you are working with a set of questions and you find that your child is just really struggling with them, and you suspect it's because he hasn't mastered the underlying ability, and you just aren't sure how to help your child work on that ability at home, you can write to us at help@testingmom.com and tell us what's going on. Tell us what questions you're working on and what's happening, what you think is going on with your child. Let us give you some ideas on how to help your child. And if you're trying to teach your child an underlying ability for a particular test and they just are not getting it, it may be that they are not developmentally ready to learn it. So, for example, on the ABLE test, which is given to many private school applicants, there are reading questions. And to be able to answer these questions, a child has to have mastered a number of pre-reading skills that many kids have not necessarily mastered by the time they take the test. And the private schools and educators don't expect every child who takes the test will have mastered these skills. And they're looking to identify the kids maybe who have, the ones who are maybe ahead of other kids in that skill. But if your child just cannot do those questions when you practice, there's nothing wrong with your child. They just may not be ready. So it's important to take that big step back and work on pre-reading skills that your child is ready for. You know, maybe you work on identifying letters and letter sounds. You don't want to push your child so hard or frustrate them by insisting that they learn something they aren't ready to master. So just watch out for that, because every child develops at his own pace. And you can always back up and work on earlier steps towards what you ultimately want your child to master. And the last thing I want to address is older kids. Now, I've been giving you examples of working with younger kids on easier concepts, but it works exactly the same with older kids. You can look at practice questions from each subtest of a test your child will be taking, analyze the skills they need to have to answer that question, and then assess whether or not they have that skill. And if not, it's time to take a step back and work on the underlying skill. And this can be harder for parents, because it's certainly easier to help our kids learn how to count than how to multiply fractions. But the first step is to determine if your child has that underlying ability, and then you can work on teaching him that ability. Either you can teach it, you might get a tutor who can teach it, or you might work with one of our Skill Building Academy programs that teaches it. But you must start by analyzing whether or not your child has the underlying ability. And really, for all the kids at all ages, a wonderful resource that we have on our site is the Skill Building Academy. And if you find your child is struggling with any underlying ability for a test, check with us at help@testingmom.com and let us know what your child needs to work with, because often we can guide you and suggest one of our Skill Building Academy programs to work with to teach that underlying skill.